Reports say President-elect Obama has already been briefed on the situation in Afghanistan, which many in government and in Afghanistan now describe as deteriorating. But certainly there are more briefings to come. And we often talk with people who claim to know a lot about a subject. But the next guest that we have here at the studio, Barnett Rubin, is director of studies and senior fellow at the Center on International Cooperation at NYU here in New York, is a person one could imagine briefing Barack Obama on Afghanistan. We asked him to join us to talk about what are the issues facing the next president in a situation in Afghanistan which militarily seems to be deteriorating and politically seems to be at a stalemate or worse. Barnett Rubin, thanks so much for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you.
What are the challenges in Afghanistan, a situation that's gone on much longer than the situation in Iraq? People tend to forget about it, but every day we've got cross-border raids, it seems like, into Pakistan, tensions between our allies, tensions between the Afghan government and tribal forces in Afghanistan. It's hard to see an upside in Afghanistan today.
Yeah. Well, first, as you summarized, the security situation is deteriorating, meaning that there are more attacks against the government and the international forces. They're occurring over a wider part of the country, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be that much of a lull over the winter this year. It means that in large parts of the country, the government and international actors really have almost no access. That's a situation that actually could go on for a long time without a crisis, except for the fact that Afghanistan is scheduled to have a presidential election next year. It would be impossible to hold that election in a way that would have a credible outcome under current security conditions. And that could undermine the legitimacy of the government and the entire operation.
Of course, undermine the legitimacy of the Karzai government. Many inside Afghanistan say there's not much legitimacy anyway. The Bush administration was talking about talking in a dialogue, an open dialogue with the Taliban. Would you recommend that the Barack Obama administration open a dialogue with the Taliban to maybe begin power-sharing talks in Afghanistan in advance of this election?
First, to clarify what I meant when I said legitimacy, the Karzai government is very unpopular, but everyone in Afghanistan pretty much agrees that Hamid Karzai is the president of Afghanistan.
Got it.
If there isn't a legitimate election, they might not agree with that anymore. And that means that there will be rival centers of power growing up again. Now, as far as the Taliban is concerned, I think we're not talking about negotiations between the United States and the Taliban. Afghanistan started after the U.S. invasion in 2001 what we hoped, and I say we because I was on the U.N. team at that time, would be a peace process because the Taliban had not given up their policy of harboring al-Qaeda. They weren't able to be a part of it at that time. But in principle, the door was open for them if they would renounce that tie. So the question is whether it's possible to find a way to bring the Taliban into an Afghan political framework, not make a deal with the United States to share Afghanistan with them.
Would that mean giving up the whole Get Osama Bin Laden mission, which seems to underscore and certainly was part of the rhetoric during the campaign of we should be focused on Afghanistan because that's where Osama is and we need to get him? I wonder if that's still the case.
No, I think it's the opposite. It's the way to do it because as long as you are engaged in a policy which, in effect, pushes a significant sector of the Afghan and Pakistani population into an alliance with al-Qaeda, it becomes much more difficult to get them. If we make it clear that they can join the international effort in Afghanistan and the national effort in Afghanistan, and that the price for that is doing something about al-Qaeda, then I won't say all of them, but I think it's certainly worth exploring whether there are elements of the insurgency who are willing and able to do that.
You make an interesting point in an article that you wrote with the noted author Ahmed Rashid, where you say that it's important to set out a regional grand bargain. Explain what that means.
Well, Afghanistan came into being in its current configuration as a buffer state, that is, as an area between what was then the British and Russian empires, where they both agreed not to interfere. It's always been a weak state that depended on external support to maintain an army and maintain security in the area. And that means there has to be a political agreement in the among great powers and regional powers to make it stable. That agreement hasn't existed since 1978, when there was a communist coup followed by the Soviet invasion. Right now, we still see that Pakistan is still harboring the Taliban for reasons having to do with its rivalry with India, U.S. and Iran, or odds in Afghanistan and many other conflicts. If we really want to make stabilizing Afghanistan a central foreign policy goal of the United States so that terrorists will not be able to find sanctuary there. We need a diplomatic effort to assure that all the governments and major powers in the region, and actually by now in the world, are committed to supporting the same political arrangement in Afghanistan rather than rival armed groups.
But what you're envisioning here is almost a kind of Sadat Begin Camp David moment in South Asia, where you have really a big move on the part of Barack Obama to make an overture, say, with Medvedev in Russia to create some sort of grand regional alliance to essentially go in and kind of rewrite the map and, in a sense, deny Osama bin Laden any sort of political cover. Do you think that kind of a moment is in the cards here?
No, I don't think that's what we had in mind. We didn't say a grand deal. We said a grand bargain. Perhaps we should have called it grand bargaining, because what we're really talking about is starting a process which will move things in a different direction. It's much more complex than the situation between Israel and the Palestinians and the Arab states, because there's so many different actors involved.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.